Sunday morning, what is today's date? July 9th? July 9th in the a.m. We're here at Faith and Grace Fellowship. We're going to be talking today on our obligation. We know what Christ did for us. We know what he did by coming from heaven to the cross for us. What's our obligation? Have you ever asked yourself that? What are we supposed to do? We're going to start in Matthew chapter 18. Starting with verse 15, going to verse 35. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of God is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him his debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet, begging him and saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved, and they came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he'd called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you just as I had pity on you. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Father, I just pray that you add your blessing to this word. Your word is already anointed, but I pray for hearts and minds to hear the message that you have for today in Jesus' name. As believers, we want forgiveness. We preach forgiveness. We sing forgiveness. We say forgiveness. We think forgiveness is all there is. But do we walk in perpetual forgiveness? Not just with our family, but towards others. Do we actually take the time to say, Lord, you forgave me of so much. How could I ever hold something against somebody else? The church is very remiss at this act because the church holds grudges against people within their body. They will say, you did this 10 years ago, and I'm still not talking to you. Wait a second. That's not forgiveness. That's judgment. We need to make sure that we're like Peter asked, seven times seven? 70 times? How many, God? How many times do I ask for forgiveness or let them ask forgiveness of me? How many times do I have to forgive them? Now, Peter was kind of like thinking he was a lot of spirituality to, hey, do I forgive him 70 times? Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Now, I want to ask you something. If you go ask God to forgive you of a sin, and you come back 10 minutes later and you ask him to forgive you of the same sin, can he? If he forgave you, he forgot it, right? So when Jesus said 70 times 7, if your brother comes to you and asks forgiveness and you forgive him, and he does it again, are you forgiving him for this time or for that time or the time in the middle that he didn't change? See, when we forgive, God didn't forgive you all of your sins that you did up until that moment. Then you've got to keep asking forgiveness every second of every day. He forgave you for eternity. He remembers your sins no more, not even the ones you're going to commit, because it's all under the blood. Jesus died for remission, not covering, but remission, taking away of all sins. Once you've asked Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and Savior, you are forgiven. And you walk in God's forgiveness, because you're not walking in your righteousness, but we've been given the righteousness of Christ. He died sinless. That's the garment of praise that he puts on you. Are we walking in that towards our brothers? 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. When you love somebody, they really can't do any wrong. Our little niece, I was talking to Kathy about something, and I used her as an illustration about forgiveness. We were kind of talking over some of this the other day, and I was using an illustration of our little niece. If she came walking by and stepped on our toe as she was walking past the couch, nobody's going to holler and scream at her. She's too pretty. She's a sweet little girl. She's just a sweet little darling. And you know she didn't come over and stomp on your toe on purpose. So your toe's out there. It's farther out than her feet go. It just happened. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. That's okay. But she's going to be the first one to say, did I hurt you? Are you okay? Your love for her doesn't hold any grounds against her for what she did. Now, she's not doing it maliciously. But the same way, when someone in the world does something to us, if we've got our dander up and we're saying, well, I never, or you shouldn't have done that to me. You're supposed to be a Christian, and you did that. We're starting to judge, and we're told not to judge or will be judged. We're to love. Love says, there's nothing you can do to me. I told the story about David Wilkerson while he was standing in the streets in New York, and Nicky Cruz, with his switchblade out, said, preacher, I'm going to cut you into 1,000 pieces. And David Wilkerson, with all the love in his heart that he had, said, you can cut me into 1,000 pieces and scatter them across this street, Nicky, and every one of them will scream, I love you. And Nicky, he was the warlord of the Mau Maus, one of the toughest gangs in all of New York, took off running. He could not handle someone sharing love with him. Now, if he'd done that to anybody else, they didn't know Nicky would have done it. He said, I'm going to meet my maker. I'm going the other way. But David Wilkerson had love. He walked in that forgiveness before man. Not only was Nicky saved, but many of the Mau Maus and many, many gang members, and that's where Teen Challenge started, was in those streets in New York. It didn't start in a boardroom. Here's how we're going to go fix these people. It started with love and with forgiveness. He took the message of forgiveness of Jesus Christ to the streets, to the ones who were the most unforgiving. And they knew his love, because they saw it in that skinny little preacher. The love covers a multitude of sins. Are we walking in love? Are we sitting there with that big old chip on our shoulder that someone's coming along and we knock it off, say, ha, I saw you do that. I knew you were going to do this. I just knew that if I stayed here long enough, that's not forgiveness. What did the passage say? That the one had 10,000 talents that he owed. That's more than many years' salary. And he begged and pleaded, and he got forgiveness. Not just forgiveness. He didn't just get, okay, I'll not sell you, but you go start paying this. He said, I forgive you your debt. He didn't owe it anymore. It was paid for. Canceled at that moment. But he went out and found someone that owed a few denarii. A denarii was a day's wage. So many years worth of money owed versus a few days. You would think that if someone owed on maybe like $250,000 home and someone got rid of that debt, but this guy owed him $50, that he'd be so gracious of what had just been done to him, they say, you know, go in peace. But he didn't. He threw him into prison until it was paid. The church has done that year after year after year. We have held accounts to people that owe us a little here when God's forgiven us so much. If you read in Nehemiah when the wall was being built, the Jews of the city were charging so much interest to the people that had come back from exile over the places they were staying that the people had to work double hard to just make ends meet. They didn't have time to work on the wall because they're trying to make do for the family. So Nehemiah went to the people and said, hey, this isn't right. You're charging them so much. And they saw it and they said, okay, we'll forgive all those debts and return to them all that they had paid extra. And the wall got finished. See, the work of God works through forgiveness. We are forgiven, and we have to forgive. I said we have to forgive because one of God's attributes is forgiveness. You go back to Adam, I've told you this before, he created Adam knowing man was going to fall. He said, light be, knowing that darkness was going to try to rule this world. He breathed into man, knowing that same mankind was going to put nails in his son's hands and his feet, causing him to have to die for that same mankind. And he still did it. He walked in forgiveness before it even happened. We should be the same. In Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. This gives us an idea of how we need to be as a Christian. Compassionate, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Long-suffering. That means it happens over and over, and you don't sit and just say, that's it, I've had enough. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. You know, if you forgive someone, even before and while they're doing it, you can sit and smile at them and they'll say, what's wrong with you? I love you. I forgive you. I don't want forgiveness yet. Okay. You still got it. I already forgive you. That is totally against the flesh. The flesh wants its own. It wants what it wants, and it doesn't want to be trampled on. But if you read 1 Corinthians 13, seeking your own, being puffed up, all those things are not love. Forgiveness is walking in love. If we walk in love one for another, we are forgiving before somebody does it. You ever been around someone that was just so giving? It's like, oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it. No problem. But, yeah, think nothing of it. You want to be around those kind of people more than the person says, I saw you do that. I knew you were going to say that. See, the church backbites way too much. The church talks against each other way too much. We need to walk in love, which is spelled forgiveness. If we're not walking in love, we're not displaying the attributes of God. Forgiveness, love, kindness. Do you know it says that God draws the unbeliever, like throwing a fishnet out, draws the unbeliever by his goodness to repentance? If God could take a big stick, and he could beat this world into submission. But he uses his forgiveness and his goodness. He lays it out there and he says, if you want it, here it is. Jesus died for your sins. He paid the price for all of it. It's already paid. If you want it added to your account, just say yes to Jesus. Forgiveness is already there. It's just whether or not people will apply it, accept it, take on that free gift. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them men their trespasses, neither will your Father, forgive your trespasses. Many people have wrestled with that verse. But if you tie that into Matthew 18 and how it's given to us as the unjust servant that throws another servant into the prison, is unforgiving after he's been forgiven. If you throw those two together, you start seeing that God says, hey, I forgave you. How come you couldn't go forgive somebody else? I'm reminded of the scripture. If you say you love God, whom you haven't seen, but you don't love your brother who you have seen, you lie. And the truth is not in you. Because how could you love God who you haven't seen when you can't love someone you have? And so God's trying to tell us we need to love those here because mankind is who Christ died for. The men and women that race up and down the street, that cut us off in traffic, that bump your cart in the grocery store, cut in line, take the last thing off the shelf that you were going there specifically to buy, and now you got to go to a different store. All the things that rankle you, God says, love them. Because if you can't love people here, what are we going to do in heaven when we're in the presence of Almighty God? Total love, total forgiveness, total awesomeness. Let's learn to get together, get along here. So that when we get there, it's nothing new. I ran across this poem about love, forgiveness, all wrapped into one here. I want to share it with you. This letter was written to a man on death row by the father of the man whom the man on death row had killed. You're probably surprised that I, of all people, am writing a letter to you, but I ask you to read it in its entirety and consider the request seriously. As the father of the man whom you took part in murdering, I have something very important to say to you. I forgive you. With all my heart, I forgive you. I realize it may be hard for you to believe, but I really do. At your trial, when you confessed to your part of the events that cost my son his life and asked for my forgiveness, I immediately granted you that forgiving love from my heart. I can only hope you believe me and will accept my forgiveness. But this is not all that I have to say to you. I want to make you an offer. I want you to become my adopted child. You see, my son who died, was my only child. And now I want to share my life with you and leave my riches to you. This may not make sense to you or anyone else, but I believe you're worth the offer. I've arranged the matter so that if you will receive my offer of forgiveness, not only will you be pardoned for your crime, but you'll also be set free from imprisonment, and your sentence of death will be dismissed. At this point, you will become my adopted child and heir of all my riches. I realize this is a risky offer for me to make to you. You might be tempted to reject the offer completely, but I make it to you without reservation. Also, I realize it may seem foolish to make such an offer to one who has cost my son his life, but I now have a great love and an unchangeable forgiveness in my heart for you. Finally, you may be concerned that once you accept my offer, you may do something to cause you to be denied your rights as an heir to my wealth. Nothing could be further from the truth. If I can forgive you for your part in my son's death, I can forgive you for anything. I know you never will be perfect, but you do not have to be perfect to receive this offer. Besides, I believe that once you've accepted my offer and begin to experience the riches that will come to you from me, that your primary, though not always, response will be gratitude and loyalty. Some would call me foolish to make this offer to you. I wish for you to call me your father. Sincerely, the Father of Jesus. That's the forgiveness that he's given to us. Not just set free, but to be made children of Almighty God. To be made sons and daughters and to be part of the riches that he has stored up for his son. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And all the riches that he has, the inheritance of the Father, we are joint heirs with Christ. This letter expressly lays out what we can receive when we ask Jesus Christ into our heart and life. But are we portraying that same love to this world? If not, each one of us needs to repent, to change our mind, to go the other way, and to be willing to exhibit the same love that God had for us. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The first part of all of that are things that we need to put away. But what it means by with all malice, that is the evil intent with which you do them. Some people could do things that are unkind, but they're not doing them with an evil intent. They haven't decided in their heart, I'm going to go do this. But with malice is to do it, you know what? I bet if I go do this, boy, it's going to make their day terrible. I'm going to go do that. I'm going to get on my bike or I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to go and I'm going to make that happen. I'm going to make their day. That's with malice. He's talking to the church here to get rid of all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, clamor, evil speaking, and put away not only that, but all the malice that you've done it with. The church wasn't walking in forgiveness. Then he goes on and says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, God in Christ forgave you. It goes back to Matthew 18. If we're forgiven much, shouldn't we love much? If we're forgiven much, how can we hold something so little against somebody else? Our sins were going to put us into the lake of fire. These things that somebody does to us, okay, so it's a slight. How much more? I mean, where's that compare? It really doesn't compare when you start looking at it in that light. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. Does it matter? What you were going to do to yourself by not accepting Jesus Christ is so much more. But that love letter I just read, is so much more. John chapter 3, verse 14 through 18 says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone that believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. Forgiveness is for everyone. And I'm not just talking about forgiveness from God. I'm talking about forgiveness from the body of Christ, us, the church. Forgiveness is for everyone. We need to walk in forgiveness. We're told that they will know you're my disciples by your love. We read in Ephesians how that Ephesians 1:15, how that Paul heard of their great faith, but he heard of their love for all the saints. How do you hear about it unless it's being demonstrated? It's active. People know it. You know when you're being loved and when you're not, right? You know when someone's taking advantage of you or when God's, or when they're doing something. It's the power plug. Push it in. Push the power plug in. You know when you're being loved. And you know when you're not being loved. When someone says, I love you, and you say, no, you don't. No, you don't. Because if you did, you wouldn't have said this or done that, or you wouldn't be doing this, or you wouldn't be... That's not love. But when God loves, you know it. Well, we should be a church that people say, oh, you're that church that loves. You're that church that you're not cutting anybody out. You love people. And we do. Love is an attribute of God. And it's spelled forgiveness. For God so loved the world. He didn't say he loved those who accepted Jesus. He said he loved the world. There were a lot of ugly people in the world, aren't there? He loves the world. And that's why he sent his son. But now that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, who's still here to give the message? Us. We should be giving that same love to the world. In John 3:14, it said, just as Moses lifted the serpent up in the wilderness, remember that brass serpent, so that anyone who looked upon it could be healed. The same way that he was lifted up, Jesus would be lifted up. Well, Jesus was lifted up 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary. But are we lifting him up today? Are people seeing the message of forgiveness in us today that we can point to from him then? If not, we're not really forgiving people. If we're not sharing the same love and same forgiveness and the same message that I don't know what you've done or what you haven't done or what you think you've done or how hard you think you've run from God, God still loves you. You cannot run so far and so fast that you can get away from God. As long as you're breathing, there's still a chance that you can say yes to God, even if it's the last breath out of your body. God loves the world, and the church loves the world. And here at Faith and Grace, we walk in love. Every day we need to walk more in love with the world, with people. There's people out there that are unlovely, but there are many people out there that are just unloved. Remember, love covers a multitude of sins. That means you don't see the sin, you see the person. You don't see what they're doing that doesn't line up with the Word of God or with your dogma, but you see the person that Christ died for. We need to love people with the same forgiveness that God loves people with. I know we're recording this, and I'd like to speak to the people that will listen to this online. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never accepted his free gift, he says that we can ask for forgiveness of sins. And in doing so, we can be delivered from those sins. That sentence of death, we were never told we were to go to hell. That hell, that lake of fire, was prepared for the devil and his angels. In Romans 10, starting with verse 8, but the righteousness that comes from faith speaks life. I'm sorry, I mean Romans 10. Yes. Sorry, it's a different translation. On the contrary, what does it say? The message is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. This is the message of faith that we proclaim. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. Now the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all you have to do is say, Father, I know you raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that. And I ask Jesus to become Lord of my life, to come into my life and forgive me of all my sins, to make me that new creature in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. And if you pray that prayer and you mean it from the bottom of your heart, you have just been born into the kingdom of God and received God's forgiveness for all things you've ever done. And he says, not only that, but I wiped away everything. And just like that poem I read or that letter that I read, he gives you everything that he was giving to his son. In Jesus' name. I'm not going to have an altar call as such at this point. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask each of us to seek inside ourselves. Are we walking in forgiveness? Are we seeking God to the point that we're loving everybody, even when people are unlovely? You say, well, Jesus didn't have to love people that were unlovely. You remember a man by the name of Judas? Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver so that he would be crucified. And Jesus walked with him and worked with him and ministered with him for 3.5 years. Is that love? He knew who was going to betray him. Is that love? Is that forgiveness? Can you sit down across from someone, if God showed you that so-and-so was going to do something to you in a few years, could you sit there and talk to them day in and day out and smile? Or would you get more and more bitter the day closer it came? Jesus walked in forgiveness with an unlovely person. And then again, he loved me. I wasn't very lovely before I accepted the Lord. Amen. I want everybody just to pray in themselves as I pray with you. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help each of us to understand how great your forgiveness is in us, how much you poured out for us, and what you've done in our lives, in our homes, in our families, and what our lives are like today and what they can be like tomorrow. But Father, I pray you elevate our vision and our understanding so that we see and hear and understand how we are to be a loving and forgiving person, walking in forgiveness and love, attributes of you, so that people see a godly nature in us. And people say, there's something different about you. I don't feel condemned when I'm around you. I don't feel like that I'm a terrible person. I want what you've got. Father, I pray that the peace, the shalom peace, rest on each and every one of us today. And that we have that peace to be able to extend forgiveness, even when people are being unlovely. And Father, I'm not saying put ourselves in situations of danger. But Father, in Jesus' name, let us be the light and life and love shared to this nation, this world, this city, this community. And we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.